You're listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time out to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.myrestorationcity.org. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian D.J. Robinson, already in progress.
Let us give God some glory. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you right now, Lord. We magnify your holy, your righteous, and your omniscient name, Father. We know that there is no other God like you, Father. There's many imitators, Father, but you've never been duplicated, God. We know that since the foundation of this world, Lord, you've been orchestrating, God, allowing for us to just move about as you would have us to move about, Father. We thank you right now that you are not a man that you could lie. We thank you that you don't have the tendencies of this flesh, Father, but you are purely a holy and a righteous and a worthy God. We come before you right now, God, just not even on a time schedule, Lord, but we just want to be in your presence, Father. Your word lets us know that where two or three are gathered, Father, in your name, you're in the midst. So we know that, God, you are in our midst on today, Father. We know right now that you are shaping us, you're molding us, God. You are preparing us, Father, in this season, God, to be what you have called us to be, Lord. We thank you right now for the reality and the revelation, Lord God, that we are chosen. That we are a chosen generation, Father, that we are a royal priesthood, God. No matter what the world says, Father, we know that you have chosen us for such a time as this, God. And as we begin to go into this moment of preaching, Father, we ask right now that your fire would come down from on heaven, God. We have built the altar, Lord God. We've surrendered ourselves, Father. So we relinquish everything over to you, Lord God, because we need to begin to shake the foundations of the enemy's camp on tonight. God, we thank you right now that the sound that is coming out of Restoration City, Father, is like no other sound in this region, Father, that we have become who you have called us to be, Lord. We're not just like any other church, Father. We're not here to duplicate what we've already seen, Father, but we are here to hear from heaven and to do what you have called us to do. Although we are part of the body, Father God, we have many members, Father. We thank you that we are in the right position, God, in the right place, Lord, to combat the territorial devils, Father, of the city of Reynoldsburg, Lord God, and vicinity, Father. We thank you right now that a light is shining from this place, Lord God, and that soon, Father, we will begin to take this territory with your for your kingdom, Father. We'll begin to take this territory for your name, the name of Jesus Christ, the greatest name there ever is, God, the greatest name there ever will be. We're going to take this place, Father God, for your kingdom, for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I am always excited to be in the house of God, and I just am I'm telling you, I am loving what God is doing in everybody's life. And the interesting thing is, I believe you get to a point in Christianity and a point in your walk with Jesus Christ to where everything's not going to go as you wanted it to. Everything's not going to go as we have it on our vision board or we have it mapped out. But we always know that we serve a sovereign God, which means that even if something is not working out the way that we want it to work out, we know that based upon the reality in Romans 8:28, that all things are working to the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Love God, one, and that are called according to his purpose. Tonight we're going to start a message, and I don't know if it's going to be a series or we're just going to do it one part, but it discusses, how do I say this, living life to the fullest. A lot of those in the world, and I can't even just say the body of Christ, but in the world are not living life. They are simply existing day to day to day to day. And I do not fault them for simply existing, because how many of you know it's better to be existing than to be dead in your grave? The benefit of existing is that you still have some time in life to make a transition and to make a shift into what God would have for you. And a lot of times there are those who are existing who don't even know that there is more to life. There are some people who work every single day to a job that they don't like. They come home and they do the same mundane things over and over and over, and they're wasting away. They don't feel as though their life is worth anything. They're not accomplishing anything. And how many of you know it's important to have a purpose? Because some days when you don't feel like waking up, some days when you don't feel like going on, some days when you don't feel like pressing toward the mark, it is your purpose that slaps you in the face and says, no, you have to get up. No, you gotta fast. No, you have to pray. No, you have to go to work, because there is a purpose attached to you. And if you don't do those things, you will never bring that purpose into its full manifestation. Existing versus living. One of the things I want to say before I get in the message is that we are a remnant. We have the world, we have the body of Christ, but even within the body of Christ, there is a remnant, or there is just a small portion of people that will carry out what God has called them to do. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fans, but not a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. With that being said, we are a remnant that has been chosen in the design to do great things for God. And if you are a part of that remnant, you have to identify with that remnant. If you are a part of those chosen generation, that royal priesthood, you have to make sure that you identify with that. Check yourself to make sure that you have the qualifications to be a part of the remnant. But then we got to figure out, what is the remnant's job? God does not just take a group of people and set them aside for no purpose. The reason he is setting them aside is because there's something that is getting ready to happen to where the average or the majority is not going to understand, or is not going to be in the position to do what God has called them to do. So he will choose a select few who have a revelation from God, who have a purpose deep down inside of their heart, and who have a commitment to execute whatever God tells them to do. Is there anybody that has a whatever God says do, I'm going to do? Some of us go, God, I'm going to do a little bit as long as it don't inconvenience me. I do what you want me to do as long as you don't. I don't got to go in the street. I don't got to witness. I don't really want to go to no hospitals and pray for anybody. Oh, look, don't send me to the nursing home, Dad. Daddy, I just want to sit here in the church and relax, right? There's some of those Christians out there, right? But we're not any of those. We have taken up the full armor. And because we are the remnant, we must be prepared for battle.
Yes.
The remnant has to always be prepared for battle, because that's why we're here. We are here to be on the battleground and to fight for those who don't even know they need to be fought for. Because while the rest of the world is being deceived subtly by Satan, because that's what he does, while they're being deceived, there's a remnant who understands, I got to watch as well as pray. I got to make sure that at all times I'm in lockstep step with the Holy Spirit so that I know what's getting ready to happen. We will be known as a people of progress and production. Mm-hmm. We must make a commitment to be known as a people of progress and production. Mm-hmm. I get into it with so many people when I begin to ask them, what have you done lately? When I begin to ask them, what is it that you are doing for God on a daily basis? Because if we say we are children of God, and if we say that there is a God who is all powerful and who is almighty and who chose me before the foundations of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. Then we must have some progress and some production. He ain't going to choose you for no reason.
That's right.
He's not going to choose you just to bench you. You're not going to pick a million-dollar player and put him on the bench.
No.
You're going to work with him. You're going to play because you're going to get your money's worth. And when Jesus died on the cross, right? His blood was shed for the remission of our sins, but that was a big price to pay.
Yes.
So what you have to understand is that you are not cheap. And because you are not cheap, you have to be in the position to be progressing and productive. We must take our thoughts and our dreams, our desires, and turn them into reality. I am past the season, and I'm smacking myself on the wrist too. I'm past the season, right? When I got all these ideas, all these visions, all this talk, but there's no progress or production. We must stop making excuses for why we are not where God wants us to be. A lot of times we blame things on God. Say, God, if you, God, if this, God, what about? And God is saying, well, if you would have made the right decision, when I told you to make the right decision, you would not be in the predicament that you're in. One thing that I'm getting sick and tired of it, is those in the body of Christ blaming their situation on everybody else but themselves. How many of you have to understand, we understand that even though there may be some outside situations and circumstances, I was taught it's not about what they do to you, it's about how you respond. Amen. So the world is going to push and push and push and push, but the question is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond based upon the 66 books that we have in this Bible? If we believe it, if we read it, if we understand it, just one chapter will change your life. Amen. Let alone 66 books. And I'm going to sidebar for a minute, because the Holy Spirit put me in my place this week. I was asking God, I said, is there a word, God? Is there a word? Is there a word? Not for the preaching, but just for my life, right? He says, I gave you the word. I said, what do you mean you gave me the word? And he said, go to my journal. And I went to my journal and I began to see all these prophecies, all these revelations, all these things that God had said to me over the years, right? And I stopped meditating on them. And we get mad at the prophet. We get mad at God. We get mad at the preacher. But guess what? Like our apostle says, one word from God will change your life. And how many of us have life-changing words written down on post-it notes, written down in our folders, in our binders, in our Bibles that we never go back to and we never meditate on? And that's the reason we're not progressing. Who does God say that you are? Based upon his word and based upon your personal time with him, who does God say that you are? Now, after you spend that time understanding who God says you are, who do you feel as though you are? Because I know that God says one thing, but our circumstances and our experiences can say something else, right? So I'll ponder and I pose the question, who are you? When you begin to delve deep and ask yourself, who am I? You will begin to see the roadblocks and you'll begin to see the hindrances to you living life instead of simply existing. But most of us don't want to spend the time analyzing who we really are, analyzing why we do what we do, figuring out what circumstances, experience are is in my mind, what is in my soul, what wounds do I have, what issues are there that I'm ignoring that keep putting me in the same predicament over and over. But we thank God for technology. Let's see if we can work it from here. Hold on, y'all. Let's see. All right, there we go. Control. Don't y'all love technology? There we are. But like I said, the series today is Stop Existing and Start Living. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Luke, the 5th chapter? And we're going to begin with verse number 1. And it says this, it says, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching from the boat. Well, I want to take a special look at verse number 2. This is a very familiar story. I've heard it preached many different ways. But right here we see, the verse says, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. What we see is that Jesus was doing his thing, right? People all around him, pulling on him, asking, listening, doing what they do, right? And Jesus was able to see afar or away two ships. Now, what the text implies for me is that even though the fishermen were not in the boat anymore, Jesus was around when he saw them in the boat the first time, right? So one of the things I want to talk about, if we're going to move from a place of just existing to a place of living, we must be willing to work. Within the body of Christ, we've gotten this, a blab and grab type mentality, right? When we go, I just get whatever I say. Now, yes, your words have power, but what people fail to realize is that your words are a seed. And that this world is fertilizer. And when you spit those words out of your mouth, yes, it goes into the ground as a seed, but you must be willing as a spiritual farmer to till the soil. Mm-hmm. How many of you know that a farmer does not just plant a seed and leave it be? Right. That farmer must make sure that they are in the position to protect the seed. Meaning that they have to go out in the field on a daily basis to make sure no animals have plucked up, to make sure that nobody's out there doing anything that they shouldn't be doing. When the rain is not coming down as it should, they must be in a position to go out there and to water the seed themselves, okay? There are certain things that they have to do, but it's work toward their harvest.
Right.
They understand that if they don't put the work in between the planting, there will be no harvest. Mm-hmm. And what we see here is that observe who he was getting ready to bless while they were working. Mm-hmm. And there are so many of us who are sitting around doing nothing, saying, Jesus, 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 please, please, please. And he's not paying attention to you because you're not working. But what we see here in the text is that they have left their boats, right? They're washing their nets, okay? But then the next thing is, after he observed them, he got into one of the boats. Let me tell you something. Whenever Jesus is watching you, whenever Jesus is looking at your life, whenever Jesus is looking at what you're doing and how you're doing, it's because he wants to cohabitate with you. It's because he wants to come and have an encounter with you. It's because he wants to bless you. But if you're not in the right position, God is not going to be able to bless you. But what happened? And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. A lot of people want to talk about the blessing that Peter gets at the end of this, right? But one thing that a lot of people begin to overlook is it says that after he got into the boat, okay, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat, Peter allowed for his vehicle, his means of making money, he allowed for it to be used by Jesus. And the first thing that we see is not the blessing, we see the sacrifice. Peter allowed for this man to come on the boat. Now, we know Jesus is more than just a man, but for the sake of this text, he allowed for this man to get on the boat, not to just get on, but the boat was used as a microphone or a stage and a platform for Jesus to get his message out. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to let your job be Jesus' platform? Are you willing to let Jesus get on your boat, whatever that boat might be, to teach the people? But then, the first way that we are going to move from merely existing to living is that we are going to have to be cognizant and aware of our decisions. Peter, Simon Peter, had a choice to make. He could have said, nah, Jesus, I don't know you like that. I don't really want you on my boat. You were teaching over there, you were doing fine, right? He had a decision to make, and that was a decision that had to be made relatively quickly. For many of us, God is going to bless us. And God wants to be with us on our business and our family, our relationships, everything that we touch. But we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to let him on the boat. Your life is no more than the sum total of all your decisions. If you get an F in a class, it's because you made some decisions along the way to get that F. It ain't that you. It ain't that you might not. You might even be smart enough, right? But if you don't do what you need to do, to fulfill the necessary requirements, you can get an F but have an A minus. Worse than be getting something when you know you could have done better. Okay? Just like being on a job, right? Every decision we make dictates whether or not we're going to get a promotion. Some people say, oh, well, the boss don't like me. Guess what? Pharaoh ain't like Joseph. But Joseph had enough anointing, had enough excellence, had enough communion with God to understand and know that if I do everything that God says I'm supposed to do, then he will supersede anybody's feelings. Because if you go, I say it all the time, if you go and you excellent at what you do, a non-believer can be like, you know what, I ain't for all that Jesus stuff, but come on over here, take care of what you got to do. They will bless you simply because you are excellent. But you have to make the decision to be that. You must also make the decision whether I'm going to be ordinary or whether I'm going to be extraordinary. The difference being what? Extra. Are you willing to go the extra mile when you don't have to? Are you willing to go above and beyond, not because anybody told you to, but that's because what you would want somebody to do for you? Are you willing to lay some things down or put them on hold in order to bless somebody else? One of the greatest things I heard a few weeks ago was Bishop Daniel Robertson in Richmond, Virginia, right? In Richmond, Virginia, began to talk about how he was getting ready to get a brand new RV. And those RV, not RV, we were a motorhome, really. It's really a motorhome, right? And he talks about how it was a lump sum of money that they had been putting up in order to get it, right? And he said, you must be in the position to, even when you got your own desires, to be subject to the Holy Spirit moving you. There was a young man in his church, right, who had got all his grades, got cleared to graduate, but would not be able to walk unless a lump sum of money was paid. Mm-hmm. Bishop Daniel Robertson said, I didn't think twice. Holy Spirit said, do it. I reached into my motorhome money, mm-hmm. took out of that, which would delay getting what you had been wanting, right? Mm-hmm. But I took that and took it, and I went over and blessed somebody else. But one thing that we got to understand, that whenever he gives you a seed, he got a harvest in mind. If we would change our mindset and stop worrying about our harvest and understand the perpetual cycle that God has, we would realize every time he put a seed in our hand, he got a harvest in mind. But guess what? The crazy thing that blew me out of my mind, one day the Holy Spirit smacked me in the face. And guess what? I probably heard it before. I listen to Apostle all day, every day. I probably heard it, but he said, your seed is the harvest for somebody else. So guess what? When you sow the seed and you become the harvest for somebody else, you are in partnership with God. And what better partner to have than the one who has everything at his hands? What better partner to have than the one who can look forward into your future and see farther than you ever could even imagine? What better partner to have than the one who's able to send his son into this world and die on a cross, go into hell, take the keys back from the Satan, come back, go back to heaven, give us eternal life, and then give us some money with it too? That's a bad God in a good way, right? When we begin to think about that, how can we ever want to exist? How can we ever just want to be a status quo, Susie, oh, Susie? No, I want to be all that God has for me to be, but it comes with decisions. When you make the right decisions, you'll be living the right life. Too many of us worry about, oh, my credit is jacked up. Well, there were some decisions you made you shouldn't have done. Been there, done that. When they say, got a shirt and a hat to match, right? But if we make the right decisions, our life will move from just existing to living. Luke chapter 5, verse number 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. Verse number 4 says, when he had finished speaking, did you let God finish talking to you? Before you tried to go run and start something or do something or make a move, did you let God finish speaking to you? There are too many of us that get a 20% of the word and we run. Instead of sitting with God and getting the rest of the word that we need for the next season in our life. Now, I'm reading into the text. The Bible doesn't say it, but thank you, Holy Spirit. What I'm beginning to see is that Peter had to sit on the boat and hear the word of God before he could enter into the next season. Had he not been disciplined enough to mouth and to sit and to listen to God, he would have never got a word or a response from Jesus. Yet it is only when you sit in the presence of our Almighty God, when you sit in the presence of Jesus Christ, when you sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is only after you let them speak to you and you receive all that they're saying to you that they'll speak, tell you what to do next. So many of us are wondering, God, what is the next step? God, what am I going to do? You had me same position over and over and over. I've been wanting to move forward, but why am I not progressing while existing? And why am I not living? But he's saying, if you shut your mouth and let me finish talking, you'll enter into your next season. Our inability to hear and to listen to the word of our Lord and Savior is preventing us from to the next season. Some of you are wondering why God is not speaking. But verse number 4 says it. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon. Only after did Jesus open his mouth to give instruction. But the instruction that he gave, to me, as I read the text, and to know Peter's issues, would have offended Peter. All right, bruh, I'd let you come on my boat. I'd let you teach these people. Your message was real good. I appreciate that. You're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. Okay? You're going to tell me to put out into the deep? Now, I was just over here watching my net because I had been launching out into the deep and I didn't find nothing. But you, Mr. Carpenter, are going to come up on my boat, the fisherman's boat. That's my career. You got to understand it. Jesus was a carpenter. That was his vocation. That was his career, okay? That's what he did. He was skilled at that. So when you begin to think about what makes your living, how would you feel if you was a teacher and some janitor came in and told you how to teach? You'd be a little offended, right? But what happens is this. Peter responded. This is what Jesus said. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch, okay? But then Peter responded. He said, Master. Which is another question. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus the head of your life truly? Is Jesus really the one rolling your rope, guiding your life? Or is it your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Is it your husband, your wife? Is it your mama, your daddy? Is it your money? Is it your bills? Who really is your master? Because when you begin to search and understand who your master is, you will first understand what benefit you have being with the master. The crazy that I had to learn, and it's a good crazy, right? Was that if there's a master, that means he got some stuff up under him. Meaning master, Lord, that means I'm ruling over some stuff. So if I call you my master, that means that I got entitlement to a little bit of what's under you, right? Is God your master? Because if he is, that means that you have access to all that he is, all that he has, and all that he can do. And like I always say, that's a lot, right? That's a heck of a lot. But Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night in caught, but I will do as you say and let down the net. Master, we have worked hard all night. It caught nothing. Don't you think God knows that you've been working? Don't you think God knows that you've been praying? He knows that you've been fasting. He knows you've been abstaining. He knows you've been doing everything you know to do. But even in the midst of it, you might not be getting the harvest that you want. But remember that God knows. And God is a just God.
which means that if he's a just God, what he's saying is, I am going to do everything I can to bless my child. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure your life is a living testament to how good God is. Even though Peter, the master fisherman, had a question deep down inside, okay, who is this carpenter telling me what to do? You know what? All right. He talked good. I felt something. All right, go. I'm going to do what he said to do, right? We must, without a shadow of a doubt, if we are going to move from just existing to living, we must make sure that we are always in a position of obedience. Obedience simply means that I do what I'm told to do when somebody over me speaks. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter if I don't understand. If God has placed you over me, and I know that you're connected, which means that's how Jesus had his power, remember? The reason he had his power was that he was always connected to the Father. He didn't do nothing that the Father didn't tell him to do. That's where the power came from. Take the note, because that's where power comes from too. Always being connected to the Father, right? But he was connected to the Father, which means that if I know that he's connected to him, it's a flow. I can never miss. I can never be in lack. I can never be in doubt. I can never be in fear. I can never be less than because I'm connected. But obedience is the next key to move your life from simply existing to living. Because what happens when you are obedient, God is able to see that I can trust you with whatever I'm going to send you. And because I can trust you, I'm going to give you more than you ever could have imagined. Obedience. Very familiar scripture. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than the sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. We typically stop there, right? But verse number 3 holds some weight too. Verse number 23 says this, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now he's talking to Saul right there, right? But how many of us have we been rejected from being prosperous? Been rejected from our next level? Been rejected from our healing, been rejected from our deliverance, simply because we chose not to obey what God had said obey. But then we want to go cry and cry and cry and say, God, here goes my seed, here goes my sacrifice, here goes my offering. Thank you. You just get caught up. Had you been obedient, you would have had to waste that seed. Not really a waste, but y'all see what I'm saying. You would not have to have given as much as you gave had you been obedient. And there are some of us that would have more in life if we were obedient the first time God said, be obedient. Yet we want to take the back road and say, I want to do what I want to do and go where I want to go, say what I want to say. But how many of you see right there? Rebellion, divination, idolatry, iniquity. When you disobey, throw that up in there with it. It's tough, ain't it? But obedience will take you from simply existing to living. But the next thing that is imperative, if you're going to move from existing to living, is that you must always be in a position of movement. We are in lockstep and sync with Jesus, right? You're making sure that you're making the right decisions. You're obedient to every word and every direction that comes, right? With decision making and obedience always comes movement. Whenever God speaks and gives you an assignment or gives you something to do, it is almost entirely tied to movement. Our Bible is a Bible of progression, production. When we talk about movement, movement is essential from existing to living. Because it is only those who are what? Movers and shakers that live a life that allows for them to not worry as much, to not be in a position to always be in lack, right? It's moving. Every day, money's moving. People are moving. Cars are moving. Business are moving. Product is moving. That is the way of the world. There are three laws of motion. We're only going to hit two of them. And the first law of motion is that every object in a state of uniform motion tends to remain in that state of motion unless an external force is applied to it. What that is basically saying, because we first off are still in the year of acceleration, whether folk want to believe it or not, because many of us latched onto acceleration at the beginning of the year, yet we pulled back and did not have good decision making and did not have obedience, which hindered our movement, which stopped our acceleration, okay? But when we talk about accelerating, right, moving forward, whenever you get in a position with God and he launches you into something, okay? He moves you from where you are to where he wants you to be, that is movement. And once you start moving, if you continue to do the same doing before you started moving, right, you will always keep going forward. When you talk about levels, right? There was some levels, hustle, 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 right? If you put yourself in a position to be disciplined, to be make good decisions, to be obedient, and you start progressing, and you keep doing the same thing, right? That means you'll continue to go further and further and further and further. Yet, if you have a moment of disobedience, what does that do? Whew! External force is applied to it, which then stops. And there's so many of us that are running with the wind of God beneath our wings, the Holy Spirit in front of us, yet we step out of our way, step out of our plan, step out of our vision, step out of our direction, and the next thing you know, boom, the enemy comes. Now you're halted. And how many of you know, if you're on the freeway and you flying at 80 miles an hour, you just coasting, right? Just shoot, zooming by cars, right? If you stop, slam the brakes, right? It's going to take a lot of energy to get back up to where you once were. Not only does it take energy, but you are not going to be as far as you were. The car, first, man, let me tell you how good God is, right? We're going to use the freeway analogy. You can be on the freeway of life and there are cars zooming by you. Zooming by you. And God says, just go 50. Go 55. Go 60. Go 65, right? Go 70. Go 75. Go 80, whatever it might be. Once you get to that level, you will pass the very cars that were passing you by. You will pass the very people that talk down on you. You will pass the very people that lied about you, lied to you, that stabbed you in the back. If only you keep moving. Keep moving. Because those people who did all that wrong, eventually an external force is going to come and derail them. And you're just going to see them on the side of the road and you're going to go right past them. But the second law, well, really, it's the third law, but we'll say it as a second. The third law of motion is this. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. If you are going to move from merely existing to living, you are going to have to understand that everything you do has a consequence. Every thought you think has a consequence. Every move you make has a consequence. For every action, there is a reaction. And that works for the positive, and it works for the negative. But when you do it on the positive side, you then have the wind of God beneath you. And every action's a reaction. Constant cycle of blessing. How many of you want to be in a constant cycle of blessing? Yeah. Always being blessed. That doesn't mean you're not going to have hard days. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you might not have money in the bank every day of the week. Doesn't mean that you might not have some health problems, in your, some health issues in your body. Doesn't mean that, does it? Mm-hmm. But it means that it's always a cycle. Always a blessing coming. Mm-hmm. Always favor. Always increase. Always the next level. Mm-hmm. And for every level, there's another devil. Mm-hmm. But guess what? When you keep moving, you get stronger. Mm-hmm. Just like being on a bike. Keep rowing. Moving. First day got hard. Second day got hard. Third day got hard. Fourth day you breeze by. Guess what? Now, instead of going that same way, I'm going up a higher hill. I'm keep on tracking. Then guess what? That hill doesn't become as hard as it once was. The next thing you know, you got stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the same way blessings come. Keep on flowing. Keep on moving and blessing after blessing after blessing will hit you. It does not mean that life will not throw some external forces. Mm-hmm. But how many of you know that when you are on the train with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. when you are linked up and right there with Him, how many of you know that it is the angel's job to protect you from those external forces? It does not mean that they're not going to form any weapons. It just means that they're not going to touch you. Not doesn't mean that sometimes you won't get knocked down. It means that you're not going to stay down. It means that because you are in the divine position and place with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because you made the right decisions, because you're obedient, and because you're always moving, you're no longer existing. You're living. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. It didn't say exist. It said have. That means possess. That means take. That means live it to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Our Savior died so that you can live life to the fullest. Do not make a mockery of my Savior's death by not living how you were called to live. Father, we thank you right now. We bless you, Lord, because you are an awesome and magnificent Father. We thank you right now, Father, because you saw fit to allow for us to make a transition from just existing to living. And we know, God, that as we make that transition, Lord, that you are going to open our eyes. You're going to bring us illumination. You're going to bring us revelation. But more so, God, you're going to bring us elevation. We are going to go to a higher height in you, Father, not for our glory, but for your glory. Not for our own accolades, but so that you, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will get the glory from this earth through our lives. We thank you, Father, that after today, Lord, we are no longer going to merely exist, Father, but we are going to grab a hold of your word, grab a hold of your Holy Spirit, and dispatch your angels to let us move to a position of good living. We thank you, we honor you, we just love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.